Its head was angled like a hoe, with a row of eyes along its ridge. Some of them examined Buell archly, others with compassion, mirth, and contempt. In spite of himself, of what and where he was, Buell felt a chill. Blind to their visitor, a cohort of warrior lizards charged through the hazing flies. They died one by one. The inhuman apparition did not react, but, despite having no obvious mouth, Buell had the impression that it smiled at him, as though he were a bloat-hound that had earned a treat. A tremendous death bellow drew his attention away. There, the mighty plague Magoth that had been rolling over the lizard's advance with a wedge of rot-bringers in train collapsed in an avalanche of folds. A sunbeam split the monster from shoulder to navel, and the armor-plated head of some apex reptile butted it aside. Fixed to the lizard creature's back was the silver and star-metal housing of some inscrutable god-engine, which clicked and reset amidst a glow of energies. The rot-bringers retreated, their forward push stymied. Buell was aware of the enemy pouring forward on all fronts now, as his own defences began to crumble. With a snarl, he took his trident overhand like a javelin, and made a challenge that armoured reptile's invulnerability.
"He seeks a champion,"
the apparition's robes whispered as it followed him. Its clothing was made not of hides or cloth, but of eyes, and the susurrus it made was the sound of hundreds of blinking eyelids, rippling white, green, black, and every other colour that skin came. It moved without truly moving. It spoke without speaking.
"Seek him, champion."
Turning, gesturing without anything so prosaic as a pointed finger, the figure directed Buell's gaze to the realm gate. The skin within it flexed. The stars above it wheeled. Even from afar, Buell could see that the view within was no longer of the garden with which it had previously been twinned. Fury returned to him redoubled. Disbelief! It was not mere bad fortune that had brought the Seraphon upon him with the aligning stars. They had come for his realm gate. Somehow they had manipulated the 8 points to change its destination. How? The magic involved in enacting such a feat was godlike. The apparition hissed in sudden distress. Its cloak shimmered with many colours, every eye tightening shut as though simultaneously blinded. And then, in a searing moment of universal light, it was gone.
"Grandfather!"
Buell cried, light like a fire in his eyes.
"Aid me!"
Shading his eyes with one heavy arm, he peered into the oncoming host. Floating on a cushion of force above the golden spears of its warriors came the source of the light. It was as if a star had been called down from the heavens and condensed into a brittle ball of bone-brown wrappings and dry flesh. Its presence alone was massive. From its palanquin, the mummified creature regarded the battle with the distant disinclination of an inhuman god. Instinctively, Buell understood that here came a being that had known power long before some demons had even come to be. He felt himself drawn spiritually towards it, the golden funerary mask that picked out its amphibian features in jewels, swelling to fill his mind as the universe subtly reordered around it. It made no word or gesture, but somewhere in the cosmos, something gave. The heavens opened. Buell howled impotent fury as the stars glimmered and fell, plucked from the sky and smashed into his hoard. The first meteorite hit at an angle, obliterating a dozen Chaos Warriors utterly, and blowing a crater hundreds of feet wide. Then came the rest. The ground shook under the fury. The sky turned white, light and sound reaching an intensity where they sublimated into one. A single, shrieking colour in Buell's inner eye, and even the demons burned in fire. Buell struggled, gasping onto hands and knees, tripping a warrior lizard running in behind him with a backward kick and riding it face down into the filth until it stopped thrashing. He stood up, dazed senseless by thunder. Waves of power smashed out from the advancing palanquin. It was almost impossible to stand against it. But in a tremendous feat of will, he stood. He shook his head.
Aid me!
Nothing. Nothing but the awesome presence of this Star Master. Moving with difficulty, he turned and staggered back the way he had come. Never in his life had Copsis Buell run away. But Grandfather Nurgle did not know defeat. With every waning, he would wax again. Chapter 8 First Blightlord Fistula stepped out of the realm gate and onto another world. The air was syrupy, hot, sweetened by the sweat of fat, citrus-scented leaves and by the bell-shaped blue flowers that he and his warriors crushed underfoot. He looked around in amazement, turning ponderously. He felt weightier, as if the sky itself pushed him down under its palm. And the sun, forgetting for the moment that it should be night, was over-large and buttercup-yellow. Winged creatures rustled through the leaves above, and, from somewhere, screams. He pulled off his helmet, wiped his running nose, and drew deep.
New lands!
Soon, all that was green would be a verdant collage of yellows and browns and leaf-rust red. It would be the cradle of a new land's blight, the metastasis from which a new canker would swell. And all of it was his.
"Over here!"
growled Vitain, crunching through the undergrowth in the vague direction of those screams. Fistula acceded to the old Blight King's instincts for pain, and followed. After a few minutes of unexpectedly heavy going through the dense foliage of this foreign land, the warriors were, to a man, blowing hard, their armour hanging loose on straps. The screams got nearer, more abject. Chesting aside a branch, too weary to bother his arm with the task, Fistula pushed ahead into a sun-drenched clearing. Varicoloured lichens and mushrooms covered the split bark of the fallen log that dominated the clearing. The cries were coming from the other side of the log. Shading his eyes from the visceral brightness of the sun, Fistula saw the Bray Shaman, Gurg, who was easy enough to pick out with his totemic staff and cloak woven with bones, even within a knot of his followers. There were perhaps 24, stomping about and smashing horns, re-establishing dominance hierarchies and staking claim to new territories. Gurg stood hunched and swaying in the middle of it, nodding his goat head approvingly, as 6 men and a woman, bound to a line of hastily woven racks, screamed. The wails of the 7th man were of a different order. A beast man, with the face of a horse and a line of horrendously infected iron piercings through its top lip, diligently flens the human with a blunt knife. Fistula smiled. There were people here. Good. It had been too long.
In Blightlord.
Arms spread, snout turned to bare the throat in that odd gesture of his, Kletch Scabclaw padded towards him through the forest. The Skaven envoy fussed at the clasp of his cloak, but despite his obvious discomfort, he did not seem inclined to take it off. At the tree line, he bobbed low and withdrew with a hiss, averting his eyes from the sun.
"Where are your warriors?" asked Fistula.
"Inwards. Less brave rats than I must cower where sky is less bright strong."
"Good."
Fistula looked across the clearing at the brawling beastmen, and the Blight Kings now spreading out through the lichens to crash down and rest. It was not much, but it would be a start, and more would flock to him soon enough.
"I will have them seek burrow for the way home at once," said Kletch,
stamping his footpaw anxiously.
"Good!"
Fistula put his hands on his hips and turned his face full on to the sun.
It was his. It was all his.
Something heavy and wet tramped up through the woods behind him. The wheezing breath on the back of his neck was thick with the stench of stagnant meat.
"I began my quest with less. I can begin again."
fistula spun around. Bule.
"I see now," said Copsis Bule, unhelmed, smiling blackly. "I see what I have been missing. This is mine,"
Fistula snarled, baring his blades. Some withered instinct for self-preservation kept him from using them, some dim recognition that the gods, too, had their favourites. He backed into the clearing. Bule moved towards him, Fistula continuing to retreat until the fallen tree prevented him from going any further. He dropped into a fighting crouch.
"I will not let you turn my conquest into another garden. You have forgotten how to do anything else."
The Lord of Plague spread his arms in forgiveness as he passed from the tree line and into the sunlight. His eyes squeezed shut against the sudden glare, but still Fistula did not think to attack. Mosses mottled and died where Bule trod. Insects dropped dead out of the air as he breathed it. Throughout the clearing, beastmen, skaven and blight kings alike stopped what they were doing and abased themselves. He came within sword's reach, knife's reach, arm's reach. Fistula lowered his weapons. He felt lethargic. His skin was hot. Dropping to one knee in front of him, Copsis Bule leaned in and embraced him. Fistula made an attempt at fighting it, but he felt so weak. His breath drained up and down like fluid. He shivered with chills, even as fever sweat poured down his skin. Jerking in his determination to fight, he struggled as the Lord of Plagues cradled him, luring him to the ground. Fistula tried to stare hatred at him, but failed even in that. Delirium fogged his eyes and opened his mind to wisdom's flood. Sorcerers robed with eyes, an army of champions, chaos united, a three-eyed king, round and around.
"I'll fight you forever," he swore.
"Grandfather Nurgle does not want us to submit," Bule smiled. "He wishes us to rage."
The last thing Fistula saw before Nurgle's rot fully entered his mind was Bule turning towards Kletch Scabclaw, arms open in blessing and friendship. Chapter 9. Copsis Bule broke up the earth with his trident. A tangle of roots knotted up the soil, making it tough, and before long he was breathing hard, a burn spreading through his shoulders. It felt good. The simple labour eased his mind and his muscles. The repetitive activity gave him the chance to think and to order his thoughts. He had much to think upon.
"There,"
he said, giving the ground a vigorous final crumbing, then stabbing his trident to one side. He ran his arm across his lank-haired brow, then turned and nodded. Vitain slid his toe under Kletch Scabclaw's body, and rolled the corpse into the rill that Bule had prepared for him. Flies crawled over the ratman's lips. His eyes were the black of rot-pickled eggs, and the smell had that same astringent piquancy.
"So much life."
However many skaven he buried, the truth of that still filled him with wonder.
"My garden will thrive here. It is as I said to you, envoy. No other race gives so thoroughly of themselves to Grandfather Nurgle."
The Skaven did not answer, and nor did Bule expect him to. He would live again, of course. That was Nurgle's promise to all. The Ratman's flesh would nurture many millions of short and wondrous lives. His decomposition would bring bounty to the ground in which he lay. But never again would he talk, think, or interfere in the ambitions of a Lord of Plagues. Pulling up his trident, Bule proceeded to bed the Skaven in. The humans would go here and here, either side, where their decay would be accelerated by the Skaven's proximity. One of the other ratmen he'd dig a plot for over by the south-facing tree line, where its remains could feed the poplars there. They were fast growers, and the rot would spread quickly. Already their leaves were beginning to wilt and brown at the edges. Birds hawked up a thin and sickly chorus of phlegm on the bowers. He could see it now. He did not know how this was to end. He never had. But he knew how to begin.
Archaon!
Fistula was fetched up against the log, shivering like a man just fished in full armour from an ice-pail. He muttered non-sequiturs under his breath, tired, for the moment at least, of raging them at the forest. His eyes rolled, like bones cast by a feverish shaman, and his brush with Nurgle's rot had bequeathed him a circlet of rugose blisters that rimmed his bald head like a crown. Buell examined the stigmata. There was a sign there. He knew it. But of what?
"He grows more lucid," observed Vitaine.
"Nurgle favours him greatly."
"A lord of flies,"
Fistula murmured, shaking.
"A king with three eyes."
A sign. Definitely. Taking up his trident, Copsis Buell pushed it into the ground and began again. He had much to think upon.
Eye of the Storm by Rob Sanders.
The sorcerer opened his eyes. All of them. The many-eyed servant, disciple of Tzeentch and subject of Archaon, who was the ever-chosen of chaos and the ender of worlds, envisioner of sights unseen. The many-eyed's gaze reached far, for he saw as gods do. He was Archaon's eyes. His gaze reached across the mortal realms, searching, searching for those who would become giants among men, warriors already pledged to ruin, who themselves searched for greater meaning and dark service. And there was no warlord of chaos darker and greater than the ever-chosen, for Archaon was exalted Grand Marshal of the Apocalypse. The many-eyed missed nothing. He saw through the living and dead, the inhuman and inanimate, and through the eyes of demons glinting in shadow. Coins fell from the lids of corpses laid out on funeral pyres. Statues blinked the dust from their stony orbs. The eyes of cutthroats, kings, and all wretched existence in between were spyglasses of the soul, through which the great sorcerer observed. Even the mind's eye was the sorcerer's to see. The play of pictures in the blackness behind the face. Memories churned up from the past. Secrets kept and fantasies imagined. The demon sorcerer looked for warriors worthy of his master's blade and plate, seeking out the darkest potential amongst a sea of butchers, corruptors, deviants, and witch-breeds. True paragons of chaos, like Archaon himself. Knights of ruin, ready for the ever-chosen's invitation in symbol, sign, or vision, so that they might pass his test and join his baleful ranks, the living, armoured embodiment of Archaon's wrath, visited upon the mortal realms. The many-eyed blinked his way across the worlds of men. He saw as the beasts did, and as the denizens who would act like beasts. In the forgotten reaches of the realm of Gur, on a storm-lashed wasteland that savage nomads and wind-worshippers knew only as the blasted plain, the sorcerer found who he was looking for. Orfeo Zuvius, blessed of the Great Changer, the one they call the Prince of Embers. The many-eyed looked on Orfeo through the eyes of the Tzeentchians that he led, the twisted wretches of his warband. In the cerulean plate and skirts of his half-robe, Orfeo Zuvius pressed his slender body against the storm. The skies were bleeding, and the wind streamed with blood, while grit plucked at his unholy vestments. Zuvius steadied himself with the length of a wicked glaive. He walked with the pole arm like a sorcerer's staff. It was a demon-forged weapon, a shaft of sculpted metal crowned by a blade fashioned in the shape of Zinch's willowy symbol. It was called Acutus, and it was a gift from Zuvius's patron. The many-eyed came to know this as he opened the ensorcelled weapon's eyes, for it had three, like his master, the three-eyed king, one that opened in the fat counterweight of the glaive's pommel, and two set in either surface of the blade. The many-eyed took this as a good omen. From Acutus, the sorcerer commanded a better look at the champion's gruesome features. Helmless, his face was a web of melted skin, stretched across scorched flesh. The skin strands squirmed continually across scalded features that might once have been handsome. Features now contorted with self-satisfied determination and dark humour. Threadbare tresses of blue hair streamed from his head. Zuvius licked his smeared lips with a silver tongue, another of the great changer's gifts. The glaive's blade blinked in the blood-streaming storm. Now the sorcerer saw through the eyes of the Prince of Embers himself. Zuvius looked up at Malefax, who sat atop the perch created by the blade's billhook. The creature was a familiar, a reptilian bird of cerulean plumage. The damn thing spoke to Zuvius in an ear-bleeding squawk that only the champion seemed to understand. The Prince of Embers nodded and looked back at his warband, trailing through the maelstrom of blood and wind-borne grit. Trudging across the blasted plain in his wake were Sir Abriel and the remains of the king's household guard. Formerly charged with the protection of the royal family, for the Prince of Embers was royal, indeed, the knights were now shadows of their former selves. Gone was the lustre of their plate and the mirror finish of their weaponry. The great changer had twisted them, as he had done the prince. They were but slaves to darkness, gangling horrors. The knight's besmirched plate had fused to their bodies and stretched with their unnatural step and reach. Covered in the glowing sigils of ruinous sorcery, they were now the Hexen Guard of Orfeo Zuvius. Behind the knights, in their shredded cloaks, were the unseeing, the Zinchian sorcerers who completed Zuvius's warband. Blind wretches, the great changer had taken their sight and cursed them with terrible warped visions of the world about them. Striking out with their powers, the unseeing turned their enemies into the frightful realization of their horrific imaginings. With crooked hands on shoulders, the unseeing formed a line of the blind following the blind, and all following the crunch of their master's footsteps. Zuvius closed his eyes against the bloodstorm. Behind them, and in the blackness of his lids, the many-eyed found light and the roar of flame. The prince's past was never far from his thoughts, an appalling vision of death and destruction that formed a dark stillness within the madman. It was the eye of a storm, a vision from an age long ago, before Zuvius and his warband were the twisted things they had become. A memory that would not be forgotten, floating to the surface of Zuvius's mind to sicken and be enjoyed. Night. The walled city of Stormhaven ablaze. The tower tops writhed in unnatural blue flame. The people screamed for their lives and then their deaths. The king was dead. Long live the king. The household guard stumbled from the north gate, the only one that was open. The others had been locked shut from the outside. People died like animals behind them, barging and clawing, swallowed by the blue flame. Sir Abriel and his men hacked and coughed, the power of change already finding its way inside them. With them was Orfeo, youngest son of the king and the only surviving member of House Zuvius. Surviving, but only just. He too had received the touch of change. Licked by the furious flames, Orfeo was horribly burned, his face, his head, his hands. He did not cry out in pain. He was calm. The red raw muscles of his face remained uncontorted. He gave the order.
Sir Abriel and his soot-smeared knights could not believe what they were hearing.
"Seal the gate," the prince told them, stumbling away from Stormhaven's mighty walls.
There was disbelief, disagreement, dissension even, but Orfeo Zuvius was now the king, and his will was absolute. Burying their doubts, the knights sealed the towering north gate, trapping the screaming innocents inside. They hoped that their liege had a good reason for acting so. He did. Ascending the nearby foothills, Zuvius turned to watch his city burn. A city loyal to the God King, whose walls had stood against storm and ruinous savagery for generations. The prince felt the heat of the fire on his blistering face. He fancied this to be the satisfaction of the great changer, bathing him in the warmth of approval. It was a feeling that his face would not allow him to forget. Malefax circled the roaring, spitting firestorm of the burning city, the sapphire flames reaching for the heavens. He swooped in to land on Zuvius's shoulder. Abriel hated the prince's pet, but the dread spectacle of Stormhaven ablaze meant that he barely noticed the scaly-feathered thing. If he had known that it had been Malefax that was responsible for Stormhaven's fall, he would have cut the bird out of the air with a swing of his longsword. For it was Malefax, flying over the walls and arriving one day on the prince's balcony, that had spoken of such horror to Orfeo Zuvius, that had taught the prince the secrets of sorcery, the arts of manipulation, and the power of change. That, as Zinch's emissary, had empowered Zuvius to turn brother against brother, son against father, and the people against their king, all culminating in riot and treachery, atrocity and flame. Sir Abriel and the household guard gathered about their young king. He was not their king, however. He was no one's king. He was forever the Prince of Embers, heir to the glowing ashes of a razed kingdom. Zuvius watched the palace towers fall. He watched his own topple, falling like a mighty felled tree through the flames. Its tower top smashed into the city walls before the prince, knocking brick and stone from the defences. Zuvius stood transfixed. The bright blue fires within the city lit up a symbol rent into the wall.
"What is that?" the Prince of Embers demanded.
Malefax twitched his head and turned a glassy eye towards the damaged wall. The bird squawked. Through the soul-curdling sounds, Zuvius heard the familiar's dark words.
"'Tis the mark of the Ever-Chosen,'
Malefax told him.
"'An invitation.'
"'To what?'
"'The exalted Grand Marshal called,'
the bird squawked.
"'The architect made you, but Archaon will break you. "'You are to be forged anew, Zuvius, like I taught you. "'Listen to the screams, look into the fire. "'Tell me what you see.'
Zuvius watched as the blue inferno flared up through the damaged wall, reaching for the battlements. In the lick and flicker of azure brilliance, the Prince of Embers saw a far-off place take form.
"'I see a storm within a storm,'
he said to Malefax. He squinted at the blaze.
"'And?'
"'Rising from it is a landform, sculpted by the storm,' Zuvius said. "'A mesa, shaped like a great anvil with a path leading up to it.
The beaten path,
Malefax told him.
Your mettle is to be tested there, for the Ever-Chosen selects only the best warriors of chaos for his inner circle of death and dread.
Zuvius nodded to himself.
You know this place?
Of course,
the bird said.
The storms you speak of rage across a distant wilderness called the Blasted Plain.
The Prince of Embers jerked his shoulder, prompting the familiar to once again take flight.
"'Then lead on,' Zuvius said. "'It would not be wise to keep the Ever-Chosen of Chaos waiting.'
The Blasted Plain was living up to its name. Orfeo Zuvius put one foot in front of another, forcing his way on through the streaming haze of crimson. There was nothing there but a maelstrom of everlasting gales and the blood of those claimed by the storm.
The prince's hair and robe skirts twisted and tangled in the wind, while Malefax's plumage was a constant ruffle. More miserable still was the twisted thing that had been Sir Abriel, and what remained of the Hexen Guard, and the sorcerers of the Unseeing who followed. They had reason to feel misery. They had been wandering through the bloodstorm for weeks. Their cloaks and robes were in tatters, and their plates scratched and dented. With only the beady eye of the bird Malefax to guide them, and the nods of his beak to indicate their heading, Zuvius and his warband moved from squall to squall. The storms that tormented the blasted plain were filled with whirls and eddies. In places, the Zinchians were drenched in fat droplets of gore that rained down from a crimson sky, while in others, the gales and tempests turned the blood to a diluted smear. Exposure was not the only danger in the perpetual storm. Whirlwinds snatched up shrieking sorcerers of the Unseeing, lifting them into oblivion, while on the rocky expanse sudden gusts lifted grit and pebble from the ground, blasting them through the Hexen Guard like grapeshot from a cannon. The Prince of Embers left a trail of corpses in his wake. What had been an army of Chaos Knights and Witchbreeds was now a warband numbering fewer than 40 dark souls. Still a potent force, but the trials of time, the perversities of the weather, and enemy encounters had taken their toll. He did not regret his decision to brave the blasted plain in search of the beaten path. He had been chosen. Those knights and sorcerers who had fallen had been unworthy of the ever-chosen, and unworthy of him. Zuvius was to be tested. What kind of prospect would he be if he couldn't even reach the site that had been chosen for his trial? Zuvius pushed on through the bloodstorm. He could not allow it to defeat him. Still, the depleted ranks of Zuvius's grand warband did not bode well for the challenges he knew to be ahead. He would have to supplement his numbers with lost wretches looking for direction and dark purpose. Fools were never in shortage. The Prince of Embers would give them purpose, and they would give their lives in service of his destiny. The Chaos Champion heard Sir Abriel call something unintelligible through the storm. It was all the Twisted Knight was capable of now, beyond the devastating reach of his blade work. Peering at him through the bloody curtain of rain, Zuvius saw that Sir Abriel was pointing off to their right with the freakishly long fingers of his warped gauntlet. Following the direction the finger indicated, Zuvius squinted at the outline of tents in the distance. Some kind of encampment in the wilderness. "Food? Water, shelter?" Zuvius said, shaking Malefax on the glaive.
"Death?"
the bird returned. Zuvius looked around. After weeks out on the blasted plain, he honestly thought his warband wouldn't care.
"We're more than a match for a few nomads," the Prince of Embers hissed,
almost insulted at the insinuation of their vulnerability. Recent encounters and the toll of the storm had depleted his numbers, but the Hexen Guard and the Unseeing were more than capable of bringing horror and death to a tribe of wind-worshipping savages. Zuvius lurched through the storm in the direction of the camp.
"Onwards!" he called.
With warped appreciation, the knights and sorcerers of the warband followed their master. Zuvius pulled back the thick flaps of stitched flesh. Inside, the huge tent was a structure of giant bones. It was like stepping inside a giant ribcage. Torches flickered smokily. Zuvius immediately got the impression of many bodies, no doubt the tribesmen and savages he had been warned about. As Malefax had predicted, the place stank of old blood and death. The Prince of Embers stepped forward with confidence, allowing the Hexen Guard and his sorcerers in. Regardless of the horrors they could inflict, the Unseeing did not make for an intimidating sight. The Twisted Knights, however, in their ghastly plate and glowing sigils, would be more than enough to startle the tribesmen. Then they would come to know that warriors of the ruinous powers were among them, and that the sight of these doom-laden forms would be their last.
Azuvius blinked blood from his eyes and adjusted to the gloom. He came to realize that he was not standing among scrawny nomads. Instead of wind worshippers, the tent was filled wall to wall with muscle. Red flesh and scar markings confirmed Zuvius's fears. They were not the first warband to take shelter in the tribesmen's tents. Barbaric servants of the Blood God had beaten them to it. Looking down, the Prince of Embers saw that he was standing in the splattered remains of its previous occupants. Casting a gaze across the tent, Zuvius made a quiet estimate of his rival's strength. It was a veritable warband, all armed to the teeth, with perhaps more in the other tents. Zuvius had nothing approaching their number. A ripple of brute surprise passed through the barbarians, followed instantly by snarls and the wrinkle of lips. Muscles twitched to tauntness, and weapons scraped as they were snatched from the tent floor. Zuvius saw blood reavers of the gore-sworn, obvious from their decorative scarring. Other savages he recognized from their brazen cuisses and greaves, rattling beneath the broad red musculature of their chests. They were the wrathmongers of Khorne, blessed with the unyielding fury of their ruinous god. A stitch-faced chieftain and a wrathmonger closed on the Zetians. The chieftain drew wicked blades from a selection of leather sheaths, holding them like talons in his gore-stained hands. The master of the wrathmongers, wearing the fanged skull of some demon creature as a helmet, dragged the blood-rusted chain of a flail behind him, ready to yank it forward and hurl the hammerhead attached to the length.
"Fight or flee!"
Malefax shrieked, flapping his wings and hovering above Zuvius and his warband. When the champion of Tzeentch didn't answer, the familiar repeated,
"Fight or flee!"
"Neither," the Prince of Embers said.
The Tzeentchian didn't move. He made the effort not to straighten, and his glaive remained upright in his hand like a walking staff. He didn't want to provoke the savage disciples of Khorne any more than he already had by simply being there. At the same time, he wanted to present the calm front of a champion too powerful to be threatened by warriors of the Blood God, even in such number.
"Mine,"
the chieftain hissed.
"The scraps, perhaps,"
the wrathmonger rumbled. Sorcerous sigils burned bright on the plate of the Hexenguard as the ghastly knights formed up in front of their prince with their notched longswords and battered shields.
"Stand down," Zuvius said,
his tone perverse and playful. Sir Abriel was unsure. He issued some kind of question from the hole in his face that he used as a mouth. The chieftain and the wrathmonger advanced, their men drawn up behind them. Zuvius's eyes moved beyond the furious warband. Rising from a throne of stained skulls, the nomads, the prince presumed, was a champion larger still, a deathbringer, an exalted champion of the Blood God. Though he had been a man once, Khorne had blessed his chosen with hulking brawn. The warband leader was a veritable wall of muscle. The teeth of great beasts jangled on sinew necklaces, while a pair of bull's horns erupted from his malformed skull. His hands were encased in bone weapons, pronged gouges that extended like a pair of claws. On his back he carried a battle-axe, the blade of which was as broad as the champion himself.
"Hold!"
the monstrous champion said. His voice was deep, like some bottomless trench reaching down into the bowels of the realm. His dogs of war stopped in their tracks, as if they had been yanked back on a running chain. The gore-sworn came to a halt at the champion's command. They parted to let the Deathbringer through. Zuvius could see the champion's mind at work, which was something to be said of such savages. A hardening of the eyes, a tauntness in the lips. Zuvius reasoned that the Deathbringer had probably fought just about everything that lived and breathed on these plains. He had faced the sorcerous servants of the Great Changer before. Unlike his lieutenants, he was cautious. Wisely so, Zuvius agreed.
"What are you doing here, on the blasted plain?"
the warrior called across the tent.
"Speak fast and true, or the blood reavers here will smash your bones for the marrow inside. The wrathmongers will simply kill you out of spite. At my order, your blood will join that of the storm in honor of mighty Khorne.
Zuvius felt the eyes of all on him. The barbarians were aching for the violence to come.
That would be ill-advised, the prince told him, playing for time.
Zuvius's mind whirled. The cornate savages within the tent would swamp them. Others, responding instinctively to the sounds of battle, would come up behind
the Zinchian warband.
It would be a slaughter, standing on the blood and bones of a previous one. Zuvius tasted the air with his silver tongue. Swords and sorcery couldn't take him where he needed to go. He would have to rely on one of his other God-given talents.
For then you would not hear what I have to say.
And why would the great Skargan fell of heart need to hear the lies of filth witch-breed like you?
The gorse-worn chieftain hissed, looking back at his master.
Because even if only half of what I tell him comes to pass, Zuvius said, then his ascension will be assured.
What ascension? Skargan rumbled.
The Ever-Chosen calls for you, Mighty One, the Prince of Embers lied.
Almighty Archaon?
Aye, my lord, Zuvius said. The exalted Grand Marshal of the Apocalypse asks only for the greatest warriors of the age, and he has called for you.
I'll cut that lying tongue out of your mouth, Zinchian,
the chieftain promised.
Kral, son of Zufkor, let the sorcerer speak,
Skargan fell of heart said. The Bloodreavers seethed about their chieftain, while the wrathmongers foamed at their snaggle-toothed mouths.
How came you by this knowledge?
A vision, my lord, Zuvius said.
Visions and enchantments,
Kral, son of Zufgor, spat in disgust. The Deathbringer's mouth curled into a snarl. He nodded his great horned head. A member of the Gorsworn stepped up behind his chieftain, slipping his reaver blade beneath Kral's chin. In a moment, it was over. Zuvius felt the speckle of warm blood across the sensitive flesh of his face. The chieftain dropped, and his killer stepped forward.
Vark, son of Kral, the Deathbringer said. The Gorsworn is yours.
Vark nodded his murderous appreciation.
Sorcerer, speak.
I saw a vision in the flames of a burning city, exalted one, Zuvius said. Skargan fell of heart, wearing the sigil of the Ever-Chosen. The exalted Grand Marshal of the Apocalypse is gathering his troops, Deathbringer. Khorne knows you belong among them.
Skargan narrowed the bloody orbs of his eyes at Zuvius.
Your sorceries will not work on me, he told the prince,
tapping the talon tip of a gouger against his bronze collar.
The Blood God will not allow it.
Zuvius nodded. He had seen such artifacts on cornate champions before. The Blood God was eager to protect his butchers from the manipulations of magic. But the Zinchian did not need such powers.
Come between the Ender of Worlds and his Chosen, Zuvius said. Not me, Deathbringer. Not for all the dark glory in the realms. I know my place, in this as in all things. I am merely the messenger.
Skargan fell of heart, looked to Vark, son of Kral.
Tell me more of your vision, sorcerer,
the Deathbringer commanded.
You must walk the beaten path, exalted one, Zuvius said, to a place of testing, so that the Ever-Chosen may judge if he chose wisely.
A battle,
Skargan said with a gory glint in his eye.
I suspect, my lord.
You know this path?
I do, the Prince of Embers said. And I have seen you walk it to glory.
What do you get out of this, sorceress mongrel?
The Deathbringer spat.
Zuvius thought on the question.
"Nothing, mighty champion," the prince told him. "But I cannot deny destiny or the will of the ever-chosen."
Scargan scowled. Zuvius could see that the monstrous warrior didn't believe him. The prince watched as a flicker of doubt crossed the warlord's features. To disbelieve a servant of Tzeentch was one thing, common sense even, but to defy the will of the ever-chosen of chaos was something else entirely.
"Then you shall guide me along this path,"
Scargan said. He turned to address the warriors in the tent.
"And if I seem displeased with this sorcerer and his wretches, or you see them doing something that you know would displease me, then in Khorne's name, kill them."
"As fair as you are wise, my lord," Zuvius told Scargan, fell of heart.
Orfeo Zuvius forged on through the storm of blood. His warband trudged laboriously through a mire of rising gore, while Malefax flapped his wings and shivered his feathers, shaking crimson droplets from his plumage. The Prince of Embers was now surrounded by cornate killers intent on his blood. Looking back along the ranks of the Hexen Guard and the sorcerers of the Unseeing, Zuvius could see the horde of Scargan Fell of Heart following them through the maelstrom. Two Wrathmongers strode either side of him like a brute escort, and Vark, son of Kral, walked at the head of the Blood Reavers, who swarmed about their beloved Deathbringer, shielding Scargan as best they could from the storm with their number. When Zuvius had seen the true size of the Deathbringer's horde, he knew that he had made the right decision in not attacking the Fell of Heart and his butchers. Scargan's warband numbered hundreds of battle-hardened warriors. To destroy them would have cost the prince dearly, perhaps even his life. Scargan and his horde had come to the blasted plain to honour their god, baptised in a bloodstorm they thought to be a manifestation of Khorne. They did not know that the storm existed only to scour the plain and claim the unwary. Malefax had told his prince that the blasted plain was a cursed place. Nomads, wind-worshippers and travellers found eventual death in the perpetual tempest, their blood becoming one with the rains. And the rain came down harder than ever, strumming fat droplets against Zuvius's plate. As they moved across the blasted plain, the Chaos Champions left corpses in their wake. Moving from maelstrom to maelstrom, and subject to the perversities of the storm, both Scargan and his sorcerer guide had lost members of their warbands. Twisters suddenly made landfall, stirring up the shallows and snatching Bloodreavers up into the sky. One of the hulking Wrathmongers was claimed by a sinkhole in the flooding mire. The temperature would change rapidly. In one moment red icicles hung from the plate of the Hexen Guard. Then an hour later, Zuvius would lose a sorcerer to a balmy haze of swirling red steam.
"What is it?"
Zuvius asked, as Malefax began to squawk and flap his wings furiously.
"The storm has teeth,"
the bird said cryptically. Zuvius gave the familiar a quizzical look before the patter of bone against his plate told him all he needed to know. As the rising gale whistled through his skirts and the ragged ribbons of the Hexen Guard's cloaks, it carried with it teeth, fangs, and splinters of bone. Zuvius felt a shard cut across his cheek. Another tore through his skirts and plucked at the flesh of his leg. As the tempest intensified about them, so did the hail. It shredded through one of the Wrathmongers and turned a blood reaver into a bloody smear.
"The Hollow!"
Scargan Fell of Heart bawled through the storm. The horde had just passed a flooded hollow, and the Deathbringer directed his savages down into it.
"Do we follow them?"
Malefax squawked. Zuvius looked about as the Hexen Guard closed in with their shields, giving their sorceress lord shelter. It was their best chance to escape Scargan's warriors. Conversely, the storm might still eat them alive, and the cornate warband was not without its uses.
"Do we have a choice?"
Zuvius said, marching towards the hollow, teeth and bone rattling against the metal of the knight's shields. Slipping and sliding down into the shallows, Zuvius looked up at the wind streaming blood and bone above. The hollow offered shelter, but was flooded with a crimson murk that sloshed around their boots. Zuvius wondered how long the squall of razored teeth and bone shards would last.
"How much further?"
Skargan demanded, pulling fangs from his red flesh. Zuvius didn't know.
"Not far," the prince said.
"What does that even mean?"
Vark, son of Kral, spat. He could not hold back his ire. Looking around for his own son, Skral, the Blood Reaver continued, content that there was not a blade heading for his back.
"This sorcerer filth is trying to get us killed out here, leading us from trap to trap."
One of the Wrathmongers grunted agreement from nearby. Zuvius realized that he had to stop this before Vark ignited the Blood God's hatred of sorcerers in Skargan and his horde.
"Apologies, Exalted One," Zuvius said.
The Deathbringer's monstrous features creased with disgust. He despised any man who would beg for his life rather than fight for it. Vark allowed cruel glee to creep across his lips.
"I can hold my tongue no longer," Zuvius spoke quickly. "My vision revealed knowledge that I was too fearful to grant you."
"What knowledge?"
the Fell of Heart snapped.
His eyes narrowed in fury.
"You would deny me all that you know."
"Having met your chieftains, I could not believe it," Zuvius said. "No champion commands warriors as fervent and loyal."
"Believe what?"
the Deathbringer fumed.
"That the Bloodreavers and the Wrathmongers would betray one another," the prince told him, with as much grave sincerity as the Tzeentchian could muster through his sly lips. "And through each other, you."
Skargan looked incredulously at Zuvius, at the Wrathmongers and at Vark, as if he did not know which of them to kill first. Vark made the decision for him.
"Turncoat wretch! I knew you were planning something!"
he shrieked, drawing his reaver blade and pointing it at the nearest Wrathmonger. At Vark's accusation, the Blood Reavers started to advance, only to be caught in the terrible arc of the Wrathmonger's hammer flail. Splatting through Blood Reavers, the warrior roared in confusion, heaving his devastating weapons about him on their wrist-clasped chains. Others erupted around him, cutting down swathes of warriors with ugly swings of their flails. Agile Blood Reavers leapt and ducked out of the weapons' devastating paths, those too slow becoming a splatter of flesh chunks and detached limbs. Running back at the Crimson Hogs, the Blood Reavers swarmed the Wrathmongers, climbing up onto their backs and globed shoulders, knifing and stabbing with their short, cruel blades. For a brief time there was mayhem. Wrathmongers stamped fountains of crimson rainwater about them as they charged throngs of rabid Blood Reavers. The warriors danced out of their path and slashed at them with their razor-sharp blades. Skargan, Fell of Heart, cut through the havoc. Grabbing his colossal battle-axe from his back, the Deathbringer strode through the shallows and into the murderous clash. Smashing one of the Wrathmongers down with the flat of the monstrous blade, Skargan shattered his skull helm and knocked him unconscious. Turning savagely, he stamped out with his boot, landing a kick on the chest of Vark, son of Kral. The warrior flew through the air with a crunch before splashing into the shallows.
"This is good,"
Malefax squawked from Zuvius's glaive. "I'm not sure," the Prince of Embers said. The ruthless violence and bloodshed about him was distracting. Being butchered by Skargan's savages was not part of Zuvius's plan, but having them butcher each other was not desirable either. He had acted to distract them from killing him, but he needed to harness their strength for the trials ahead. He had a feeling that he could not achieve his fell goals without their strength. Standing in the flooded hollow, Zuvius's sorcerous instincts twitched.
"Wait a minute," he told the feathered familiar.
Zuvius saw a cloud forming through the bloody shallows of the hollow. The waters began to thicken to a muddy paste about the boots of the Chaos Warriors, slurping and bubbling. Arms of pink brawn and sinew broke the surface of the unnatural mire, clutching with demonic claws. Zuvius watched as infernal horrors spawned from the water about them, a plague of Tzeentchian monstrosities drawn to the deliciousness of treachery and dissension in the ranks of the Horde. The hollow filled with the roars and screams of the Blood God's servants. Grabbed about the boots and ankles by the frightful appendages, they were dragged down into the sludge. Jaws formed in the fleshy surface of the shallows, brimming with row after row of jagged fangs, and gore-sworn killers were swallowed whole. A Rothmonger had his leg chewed off, sending him into a sludge-punching fury, but his fist became entangled in the sinewy stickiness of demon flesh. Faced with a common enemy, the butchers forgot their former enmity and visited their rage upon the spawning pool in which they stood. Zuvius smiled to himself. The great changer in all his perversity had sent a blessing. The cornate horde was once more unified in the face of a common enemy. They had swiftly forgotten their desire to end the prince. The demon attack, meanwhile, was thinning out the dissenting forces. The appearance of the horrors not only gave Zuvius a chance to fight at the cornate savage's side, but it would make them easier to manipulate than ever. The sludge seemed like a single monster, but from it individual creatures of nightmare arose, stretching themselves free. Rothmongers splattered the demons within the monstrous arcs of their hammer flails, while the blood reavers struck grasping limbs from the creatures with their blades, only to find two more erupt from gushing pink stumps in their place. The horrors seemed never-ending, scrambling free of their spawning pool like a plague of jubilant insanity. Their grotesque bodies were all fang-filled maw and beady eyes that frantically set upon new victims to maul. Clawed, muscular legs helped them to bound and latch onto Scargan's berserkers, while an eruption of supernaturally strong arms tore armour, limbs, helms and heads from the warrior victims.
"This cannot be!"
Malefax shrieked above the carnage.
"These are the lesser playthings of our master."
"The demon horrors of Tzeentch," Orfeo Zuvius said, spinning the shaft of his glaive about him in willowy gauntlets. The prince's warband were not immune to the creature's attentions. Infernal monstrosities dragged members of the Hexen Guard down into the fleshy embrace of the pool to crack their plate in writhing knots of demonic muscle. The sorcerers of the Unseeing, meanwhile, clutched to one another in their blindness. Judiciously deployed, they were among the most powerful wretches at the prince's disposal. Their sorcerous powers could transform even the most deadly opponents into statuesque spawn of ruptured flesh and twisted bone, visiting the form of their dread visions upon the enemies about them. Against these formless monstrosities, their powers were all but useless. The demonic horrors already took the form of the sorcerer's nightmarish imaginings.
"The great changer must be displeased," Malefax flapped.
"The exalted Grand Marshal's invitation has angered him."
"No," Zuvius said, gritting his perfect teeth as he lopped off the clawed fingers of a reaching demon with a graceful swing of acutas. "It's an honour. The joint damnation of this hollow strengthens our association with the Blood God's barbarians. Battle is like ale shared across a table to these brutes." As a member of the Hexen Guard was pulled apart by two multi-limbed horrors, Sir Abriel splashed up through the slime to smash aside another monstrosity with his shield. Holding his glaive by the base of the shaft, Zuvius wheeled around, allowing the heavy blade of the weapon to lop limbs from the attacking creatures.
"Why do the great changer's demons try to destroy us, then?"
the bird squawked, unconvinced. Zuvius turned acutas around in his gauntlets, aiming the pommel of the glaive at the horrors emerging from the pool. "For perversity's sake," the prince said, with a grin of insanity. "Why else?" His demon-forged weapon's searing blue eye opened. Lightning cracked from the glaive, causing the air to burn and the heart to jump. As the jagged bolt struck the nearest demon, the thing seemed to rupture, exploding in a shower of pink slop. Aiming the sorcerous weapon across a line of advancing creatures, Zuvius had the lightning jump from monster to monster, turning one after another into flinch-inducing splatters of flesh. Stomping through the curtain of gore, Scarganfell of Heart was a destructive machine. His great axe was everywhere, chopping demons asunder, lopping off limbs and cleaving the gibbering creatures in half. The clawing, strangling, savaging things climbed across his muscular frame, only to be gouged free by the bone blades the Deathbringer wore on each meaty fist. Flinging them off and down at the floor, Scargan sent them shrieking back to the flesh pool before stamping down on them with his boots.
"You!" the Deathbringer roared at Zuvius. "This is your doing!"
The Prince of Embers was tiring of the belligerent champion and his savage lieutenants. Thrusting Acutus forward, Zuvius impaled a creature before tearing his weapon back and turning it around in his hands. Blasting lightning into the stricken demon, Zuvius coated Scargan with filth.
"Does this look like my doing?" the prince shot back, before passing the glaive behind his back and thrusting it to the side.
The Zinchian horror coming at him opened its gaping mouth and attempted to swallow the weapon. The glaive blade was momentarily lost in the darkness before bursting forth out of the demon's back. Zuvius turned to the approaching champion of Khorne.
"Does this look like my god favouring me?"
Scargan fell of heart, considered the prince's words with all of the calm thought of which he was capable. Furious at his brute conclusion, the Deathbringer carved out a circle of destruction about him, chopping, hacking, obliterating. His battle axe dribbled ichor. The colour in the hollow was changing, however. The pink that had clouded the shallows and solidified to a spawning flesh pool was now dashed with azure. Every time a pink horror was mulched into formlessness, blue claws would prise the ruined demon flesh apart. As the dying monstrosity rippled and quivered, a blue horror would climb out of its corpse, followed by another. Apart from its colour, each was identical in form to the foul being from which it proceeded. Zuvius pursed his smeared lips. He was once more caught between the fury of the Deathbringer and perverse circumstance. Looking up, he saw that the wind had dropped. The storm of fang and tooth was passing. The fat droplets of the bloodstorm still hammered down about them, however.
"It is an affliction of the land, exalted one," Zuvius said. "A hellish hole through which demons bleed into the world. A flesh without end, my lord, living, dying, and dividing. We must withdraw."
"Never!"
Scargan roared, tearing his gouging talons through a creature before batting three blue clawing beasts away with the flat of his axe blade.
"Get the sorcerers," Zuvius commanded, sending Malefax off in the direction of the unseeing.
The Prince of Embers would not die in some squalid hollow with a mindless berserker. As the sound of the birds squawking led the blind wretches back up out of the hollow, Zuvius pointed a finger at Sir Abriel and the slope behind. Batting mad creatures aside with their knightly shields and cutting down horrors with their notched longswords, the Hexen Guard covered their master's retreat. Stepping back up the incline,